The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simen Kuf Tzadi Zayin. Simen Kuf Tzadi Zayin talks about the cleansing process known as the Tahara that's done to a Jewish person's body before the burial. And the Tahara is a very mystical and type of process where the body is cleansed, and dressed in certain garments, in the tachrichim, and the shrouds. And part of the idea behind it is that it's not only a preparation for the body, but it's preparation for the neshama as well. And it also shows our belief in Tchias HaMesim, that this body, we're cleansing it because its tachlis, its purpose is not finished yet, but it's a preparation that when Mashiach comes, this body will come back. So there are a lot of deep things about the whole idea of Olam HaEmes, of afterlife, that are behind it. And there are different customs that different Chevra Kadishas, different burial societies have, and each one should obviously follow their custom. And here we're going to see what the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, who lived in Hungary, the customs that he was familiar with. But again, a lot of different Chevra Kadishas, each one has their own sort of book of customs that they do. But we're going to learn a little bit, at least from the Kitzer, as far as what customs he describes. It says the following: Din Tatachrichin, the laws of the shrouds of Atahara, and the cleansing process of Izr Hana Bemeis, and that one is not allowed to derive any benefit from the dead body. Sif Aleph. Noigim Lahadar Achre Bigde Pishtan, Levanim, the Yunan. Said that the custom is to use linen burial shrouds. Now, the reason for it is the Gemara says a story about how Rabbi Gamliel, the great Tana, the great Nasi, the great prince, Rabbi Gamliel, the times of the Mishnah, so he saw that what would happen would be that rich people, when they would pass away, so they would, the families would bury them in very fancy clothing. And, you know, especially in those days, they didn't bury like they do today in America, but like they do today in Eretz Yisrael, they don't bury in a coffin, they bury straight. And so the poor people would be embarrassed because they didn't have such nice clothing. So Rabbi Gamliel wanted to put a stop to this. So even though he was from the kingly tribe of Yehuda, but he requested that he should be buried in a simple shrouds of linen. So from there became a custom that everyone's a standardized, a plain pine box, and the same burial shrouds. Everyone should, not to embarrass the people that don't have. Now, what's the reason why they should be noyim? Why should they be nice? So the Kitzer explains, the simen as a sign, as a reminder, shemaydim tchias ha-meisim. In other words, if we would chas v'shalom not believe in tchias ha-meisim, then why do they have to be nice? This is the end. But the idea of them being nice is to show that one day this body will come up, and it'll live once again, and at the time of Tchias HaMeisim, that's why they should be nice. The Amar of Chia Bar Yosef, Asidna Tzadikim Shiyamdu B'Lushayim, because the Gemara says, the Rav Chia Bar Yosef said that Tzadikim will get up when Mashiach comes, and they'll be wearing their clothing. And there are some very interesting stories about certain great Tzadikim that they were, had to be moved years after they passed away. There's a very interesting story with the Vilna Gaon that he had to be moved in the cemetery in Vilna, and they dug where the body was, and when they found the body, this is over 100 years after he passed away, but the body was completely fresh, and the clothing were perfect, and nothing had disintegrated at all, which is obviously a great news. And this is what the Gemara says. The Gemara says that when the Mashiach comes, the tzaddikim will come back to life, and they'll be wearing even their clothing. So therefore, since we believe in this Gemara, so therefore we want to make sure that the clothing that we bury a person with should be nice. Now, the place can discuss, this is at the time of war, that it was very expensive linen. So could they use other things? Now, one of the reasons why linen is used, it's brought, is because even though this sort of contradicts what we said a moment ago, but this is an idea that we don't want to hold back the natural decaying process. Now, as a person who's a tzaddik, so they obviously, that doesn't happen to them. But a regular person, there's a natural decaying process, and that decaying process is also part of the neshama, you know, completely leaving the body. It's sort of connected to it. So therefore, we don't want to hold it back. So therefore, if they're going to be buried in, say, wool or that type of garment, so therefore, that's going to hold back the decaying process, and we don't want something that's going to disintegrate easily, so therefore we use pishtin. That's a reason that's brought in Sfarim. So this gadol was at the time of war, and it was very difficult to get pishtin, to get linen. So he wanted to know, because they use paper as a burial shroud, because paper is also, they used the paper in those days, with his references to paper being used as a form of clothing, and paper obviously disintegrates easy. What about paper? So what his conclusion was that paper could be used. He says those that want to use pishtun and spend more money could do that, because since generally pishtun is cheap, so therefore one's allowed to use it, even if they have to pay a lot this time. But he says, yeah, paper could be used. This is what he writes. Now, so again, what the Kitzur are saying is that the custom is to use burial shrouds that are made of linen, and it's a standardized type that not to embarrass those that don't have. Now the Kitzur continues, "Avalo yu chashuvim yosim midai kizeh aser." But we mentioned they should be nice, but they shouldn't be overly expensive, because as we mentioned, that was against the idea of Rabbi Gamliel, who said that everyone should be buried in simple shrouds. Also, lasa tachrichen la'imra v'la'ishum kasher. One is not allowed to make the tachrichim with any seam or knot. Hein bechutin shetayfim behen belvisha. Hein bechutin shetayfim behen, whether it's at the time of sewing, hein belvisha, or the time of dressing them. Now, a reason that's brought for this is because it's a symbol that when a person dies, that they don't take anything with them. So therefore, a knot or a seam is something that you could put something in. So therefore, that's why the custom is it doesn't have any of that. Now, the old custom was to sew by hand, but the Paiskim say that the Malkiel and others say that one it could also be sewed by machine. Kavrin ha'ish betal sheish by tzitzis. Now, he says that we bury a man with wearing a talus that has tzitzis on it. Ach poislin achas. But he says we invalidate one. The reason is because since there's a concept of leg l'rush, that since a deceased person cannot become a mitzvah, so we don't want to sort of be disrespectful to him. So if we're going to put on him a talus that's kosher, it's sort of being disrespectful because he can't fulfill the mitzvah now. It says, well, the proper way is kishemunach b'kaver, when the body is ready in the grave, oz yachnisu tzitzis achas b'sechaknaf, you should put one of the tzitzis inside one of the corners, so to show, I guess, out of respect, but not to actually invalidate the tzitzis. Now, the Sha'arim Mitzvah B'alacha brings over here a lot of different customs as far as this halacha. In other words, it would seem that the idea of invalidating one of the tzitzis is because the person is not able to fulfill the mitzvah now. On the other hand, the idea of wearing a talus that has proper tzitzis in it would be that the person was scrupulous to fulfill the mitzvah properly his whole life. So now when he goes to the Olam HaEmes, when he goes to the next world, we're showing that he wore this talus and did his mitzvah properly. Now, the custom seems to have been to invalidate the tzitzis. And he brings that two different gedolim. He brings that the Gra and the Seder Rishon Shavayda. Both of them commanded a student of theirs to not to invalidate the tzitzis. And the story with the gun that the Sharm Mitzion Balacha brings was that he told him the student that when he's there at the time of the tara of the cleansing process, he should tell the others that they should not invalidate the tzitzis. Now, but when it came that time, that student all of a sudden had a stomach pains and he had to leave. When he came back, they had already dressed him in the talus, and it was too late. So he was upset because the Gaon told him not to, and the Chacham of the time got together and they felt that it was sort of a simon min hashamayim. It was like a heavenly sign that they shouldn't change from the custom. And there's a similar story that he brings with the Yisrael Shishar Shavayda, which was another great tzaddik, that he also asked them not to invalidate it, but in the process of the burial process, it accidentally got ripped. Now, but he does bring other tzaddikim, the Devar Chaim, and the Moon Catcher, that they did not do it. Other items like the Marsham, I believe I've heard this custom. Some places do this, is that they tie two of this together, which is also, it doesn't really invalidate it, but I guess it's out of respect that shows that this idea that it's not the way it's supposed to be, so therefore you're not being disrespectful of the fact that the mace can't fulfill the mitzvah at the time. Now the Kitzur continues. That if one has a nice talus that he wore during his lifetime, one shouldn't put on him instead one that's not so nice. Because it's nice for a person would rather to be buried in the talus that they davened in, which is again because they're showing that they took their mitzvahs seriously. Now, what about an unmarried person who passes away? So, most, according to in many communities, they don't wear a talus, right? The regular Ashkenaz custom is that they don't wear talus, Sfard, and others do, but say they don't. So this, they talk about the different customs about. But they bring that if there is no specific custom, then if he's above 13 years old, then he should be put in a talus, but below 13 years old, then not to put on a talus. Now the Kitzur continues, Kishmalbishin as Hameis, when they bury the deceased, Yichavnu, they should have in mind, Shekashem Shemalbishin was a guf, that just as they are preparing the body, came to slavish nishmasa b'mabushim ruchnim began Eden, that the soul should be dressed with spiritual clothing, whatever that means, in Gan Eden. But again, the point is that the idea of cleansing the body shows our belief in Chiyas HaMesim, and that's why those that are involved themselves in the Tara and the Chevra Kadisha, during the time that they're doing it, are very, very careful not to talk and to act extremely respectful to the mace, because there are very deep things that are happening at that time. Siv Beis continues with the Tara process. The Tara process was a concept and that at the time of the Misa, of the death, there's a certain tumah that goes onto the person, and therefore the custom was to pour Tisha Kabin, which we'll see exactly the amount of it, a certain amount of water over the person to sort of cleanse them from that. Today it became prevalent in some places to put the mace in a mikveh, obviously one that's only used for deceased. Now, there is different approaches to that, because there are reasons to say why not to do it, and traditionally it was only done for very great tzaddikim, but some places it became some more prevalent to do it. But again, what's discussing over here is the practice that was always done, which is pouring of this amount of water. It says the following. Seder Tahara. So what's the cleansing process? Machitzin b'mayim chamin. They clean with warm water, kol gufa v'raisha, the entire body and head. U'manaka naisa heitiv, and they clean it well, bein etzbois yadav haraglav, b'chol makam, between the fingers, and everywhere, v'chayfin es reishai, and they clean the hair, v'sarkin, and they comb it, v'gayzin saris reishai, and they trim the hair, v'naitlin tziporni yadav haraglav, and they cut the nails, the Kitzur says his community, they didn't do that. I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to, but some of these practices they did not do. Now again, they have to be respectful, so they would put the deceased on a special board, but he says they shouldn't put it face down. But Zion says disrespectful. When they have to clean the back, they should put it on the side. Then they do the other side. L'achar sheniko is a heitiv, and after they clean them well, shayfchin olav tisha kav maim, they pour on him these 9 kav of water. D'hainu shemamidin es hameis al hakarka, that they put the body on the ground, oy al gabe kash, or on straw. V'shayfchin es hameim al roishoy, and they put it on the head, sheyerdu al kol gufoy. So again, it seems that they're doing it, the person's in the standing position, and they're pouring it over the head of the person, this amount of nine kav. Now the amount of this 9 kav is approximately 14 quarts of water, and this should be poured over the deceased in one continuous stream. It could be from different kalim. But again, the deceased person has stood up, and it's poured from the head down in one continuous stream. Sif Gemel, Shir Tisha Kavin Yish Machlaikis. So the Kitzur says that there's a question exactly how much water it is. V'yishlich kach l'erech chavdal quart Polish. He said 24 Polish quarts. That's, older measurement. The measurement I quoted from was from the Sefer Yisrael Yismacha, is from Rabbi Felder. The Ein Srichen Shiyu Kulam B'Kli Echad Dafka, and they all don't have to be in one Kli, Elagam Yishnei Kelim, but if in two Kelim it's fine. Hamishloshim and Starfim, it's still okay if it's from three Kelim. Raksha Sheni Yasch Litzleg B'Oid Shalei Hivzik Arishim, but the main thing is the second one should pour it before the first one stopped. V'chein HaShlishi B'Oid Shalei Hivzik Asheni, the third one should begin before the second one stopped. And also, if they're doing it for one, then they shouldn't stop the pouring. Ready from 4 kelim, that's really too much spread out, and therefore that's not good. So up to 3 kelim. Now, the Paiskim talk about using a shower or a hose. Many say not to do it because it should be in kelim, or so maybe it's disrespectful, but the custom is to do it in basins, as we mentioned. Siv dal. Achakach tarfin beitza im yayin. There's this custom that they mix egg with wine, biyachad. V'tarfin abeitza biklipasa. They mix the egg still in the shell. L'ram is shagagal hu shacharz b'olam. That we know egg is a symbol of life, that there's a circle of life, that there's birth, and then the person, there's life, and there's death, but then there's rebirth, and it keeps on going. And if there's no wine available, like chemayim, water can also be used. And they use the solution to clean the head. Some had this custom that various people would put a little bit of the solution on the deceased, ain't enough, and it's not proper, and it's not a good custom. It seems to be resembling some non-Jewish custom. As you mentioned, they should cleanse the head. The Kitzur continues, they should be careful that the deceased shouldn't have his fists clenched. Says those that have a custom to do that, actually to crunch the fists, it's not a correct custom. And it says this, that some say that by doing it there's a symbolism to to holy names of Hashem, Dover Bodihu, it's just made up. So the Kitzur was very against this practice of clenching the fists. Now, the Shara Mesiyana Melacha brings, however, that even though this is the opinion of the Yavid to the Chachmas Adam, but others, the Chassam Sefer, the Ksav Sefer, did feel that there was a basis for this. So again, as we mentioned, that each Chavra Kadisha follows its various customs. Now, the Kitzur continues, Gama Shanoistim Biyodai Sharbit Shakarin Geflich Minach Shtusu, they would give some sort of chain in the hand. He was also against that custom. He says, but if they do want it, should be with the person in the coffin. They should put it next to him, but not in the fist. Okay. Sif Vav. La'achar Shatiru Asameis, after they cleansed the deceased person. Lo Yenichu Oisai B'makom Shatiruhu, they shouldn't leave him in that place. Ela Yishkevuhu Keneged HaPesach Lifnim and Abayis, but they should lay him near the doorway. And also, they should not turn over the board that was used for the Tara, because there's a danger to this. Obviously, these are supernatural concerns, and you're dealing with a person that's deceased, you're dealing with a neshama, so obviously, there's a lot of different supernatural type of things going on. Sif Zion. Leinashik Adam Yolad of Shemesu. It says one should not kiss their child that passed away, Kihusakana Gadol, because it's a great danger. And again, these are things that are not things we understand logically, but these are things that there was an accepted custom and belief that there was some sort of spiritual danger involved with that. And one should definitely not hold the hand of the deceased and say, take me along with you. And these things were considered to be things that were dangerous to do for, you know, reasons of segula and other supernatural reasons. Now, the Ravid writes that some places after the burial, they would fall on the tomb and they would, you know, kiss the ground. He says that's just an idea of kavod ames, and that would be permitted. So again, this idea of not kissing one's child that Chas V'Shalom passed away, that's actually the person themselves. But those that had a custom to sort of fall on the tomb and like that was considered a demonstration of kavod ames, that was permitted. The rest of the siman we're going to continue in the next year, Bezer Hashem.